the past. The bullet from the target rifle burned like a razor blade across David Webb's neck and landed in the heavy rubber trap to which he was bound. Where he felt the sting, a single trickle of blood dripped down his skin. Each of the earlier bullets had come close without actually striking him. The first had landed 2 inches to the left of his shoulder. The second, an inch away from his right ear. The third, half an inch below his groin, in the valley between his muscled legs. The fourth, immediately above his head, had parted his swept back muddy brown hair and singed his scalp with its heat. Now, he'd been hit. Was that deliberate? A way to maximize his fear? Or had the shooter made an error? It didn't matter. David felt his muscles begin to tighten, but he restrained his body's instinct to flinch at the impact. His mind stayed calm, his limbs motionless. Sweat bathed his skin, but he ignored the dampness. He measured out each breath and focused on slowing down his heartbeat, which stampeded in his chest. Inside his mind, danger didn't exist. This was nothing but a circus, where a knife thrower showed off his skills to impress the audience. In this case, the audience was one man in a Savile Row suit, standing on a third-floor balcony above the manicured garden of his Marne-la-Coquette estate. The target where David was bound had been positioned at the rear of the garden, near a stone wall that separated the mansion from the green lawns of the Parc Sportif. He was posed like Da Vinci's Vitruvian Man, arms outstretched, legs spread eagle, his wrists and ankles secured with Velcro straps. The old woman who'd tied him, Je m'appelle Madame Aubert, had taken his Glock and shoulder holster. Then she'd waited with outstretched arms for him to undress. Her eyes, still hungry despite her age, followed his movements with erotic interest, until he'd given her all his clothes and was completely naked in front of her. When you were exposed, you were vulnerable. When you were exposed, you cannot hide. Those were the rules of the monk. David kept his head perfectly still as he anticipated the next bullet. The slightest twitch meant the difference between life and death as the marksman took aim. Even so, David's eyes moved constantly, memorizing every detail of the garden. The circular pond in the middle of the narrow rectangular lawn, with a single fountain bubbling out of green water and lily pads on its surface. The conical trimmed bushes, 8 on either side of the grass, casting arrowhead shadows in the morning sun. The statue of Zeus atop a marble pedestal, bearded, a wreath around his curly hair, a gold-painted lightning bolt clenched in his upraised fist. No one but the king of the gods for the owner of this estate. Later, assuming the Olympic medalist 50 yards away didn't make a mistake and kill him, David would need to describe the setting with perfect recall. He didn't know which details he'd be asked about. That was part of the test. This exercise is about maintaining your ability to function in the face of lethal threats, his mentor had told him. You will be afraid, but you cannot let fear rattle you or make you panic. It's essential that your mind continue to operate. Think, observe, strategize, remember. Is that clear? You can't pause an operation simply because you're under attack. The intent of this lesson isn't to harm you, David, but even the most competent shooter can miss on a given shot. If he does, you may be injured, or you may die. That's the risk you accept by doing this. It's my belief that training should replicate as much as possible the actual conditions an agent will experience in the field. His mentor, David Abbott, the man after whom he'd been named. David Abbott, the son of an auto industry billionaire whose wealth had given Abbott the financial freedom to devote his brilliant, bold, and calculating mind to the clandestine intelligence services. To his allies, he was the monk, a black ops pioneer always 2 steps ahead of everyone else, anticipating new